DW Africa Link.
May his soul rest in peace. Zambia is mourning the death of former President Edgar Lungu. He passed away on June 5, 2025, in a hospital in South Africa. He had been receiving specialized medical treatment in a clinic in Pretoria, according to a statement by his political party, Patriotic Front, PF. He was 68 years old and was suffering from recurring achalasia, a condition caused by the narrowing of the esophagus. So, what legacy does he leave behind? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Zambia has declared 7 days of national mourning for former President Edgar Lungu. His body will lie in state starting this Wednesday after arriving from South Africa. President Hakainde Hichilema has granted him a state funeral. Now, during the mourning period from June 8th to 14th, all national flags will fly at half-mast and entertainment events have been suspended. The former president held power for almost 7 years, from 2015 to 2021, when he lost to the current president Hakainde Hichilema. A trained military officer and lawyer, Lungu became the country's sixth president in 2015 after the death in office of his predecessor, Michael Sata. So how will he be remembered? To help us understand the legacy of the late former president, Edgar Lungu, I have Kellys Kaunda. He's a communications and public policy consultant who served as first secretary at the Zambian embassy in Berlin during Lungu's term in office. DW correspondent in Zambia, Gloria Mushenge, is also here with us. Hello and welcome to the Africa Link podcast, both of you. Kelly, let me start with you. Zambia is still mourning the death of Edgar Lungu. What exactly has the country lost?
We've lost a man who occupied the position of president as the sixth president of Zambia. What the country has also lost, you know, is the fact that he's a president that presided over the affairs of the country when the country's fifth president, Michael Sata, died. You know, the kind of leadership that is required during that transition period, you know, it's a very delicate one because you need a leader that is going to delicately balance, you know, the various views and counterviews and counterforces that happen when you have a president in office dying. And as a person who, you know, stood in that place when Michael Sata died, Lungu will always be remembered as a very sober individual who handed over power to then Vice President, you know, Guy Scott. And a lot of people, you know, credit him with a lot of sobriety, a lot of, you know, maturity, and a person who was not prepared to clinging on to power, even though Michael Sata, when he was living, handed over the instruments of power to him and not to then Vice President Guy Scott. And when the Sata died, he, in the midst of, you know, some of those you know, views and counterviews that prevailed at the time that he needed to hold on to power, instead what Edgar Lungu did in, you know, in the name of peace was to hand over power to Guy Scott. So that very act in itself is one act that Lungu always be remembered for. And why that is important is because we live in a country or on the continent where holding on to power is the in thing.
Right, right. So how much of a mixed bag is his legacy?
You know, during the time that Edgar Lungu was in power, two things happened. On one hand, he presided over, you know, the affairs of the country at the time when a lot of the infrastructure developments were happening. In fact, at some point, the late former president of Namibia once remarked when he visited Zambia that when he was flying into Zambia, he said it was as though he was flying over a construction in just about every corner of the country. Schools were coming up, hospitals, roads, hydropower stations. And then the reasoning has always been that when the country has infrastructure, then it can facilitate economic growth and facilitate trade. So from a positive point of view, that is associated with Lungu. But then on the political side of things, Lungu continued a tradition that has been associated with Zambian politics since the first party of Kenneth Kaunda. And that is the disproportionate empowerment of supporters of the ruling party, who could get away with just about anything. So we saw a lot of political violence. We saw, an overwhelming of local authorities who could not manage bus stops, which was their responsibility according to bylaws. We were supposed to be collecting levies in markets because it's one of their responsibilities. There were situations where even the police were afraid to intervene if these party members, sympathizers, or locally known as, popularly known as party cadres, if they wanted to, to get their way. So this aspect of his leadership didn't sit well with a lot of people. That made PF and President Lungu, quite unpopular. That is why, even in his death, these issues are, coming up from time to time. One of the most remembered, assaults on democracy, as many people see it, was the charging the main opposition leader Gainde Ijilema with treason because, his motorcade at some point interfered with the presidential motorcade. And that was seen by a lot of people as overreach. It was also seen by a lot of people as purely intended to undermine the rights of, the opposition. So, yeah, the record of President Lungu is, is a mixture of the good and the bad.
Thanks for laying that foundation for us. Glory Mushenga, you are our correspondent on the ground. You've been speaking to a lot of people. I mean, overall, the nation is indeed mourning. What are people telling you about what they will remember the most?
So wherever you go, you will find that the narrative is actually similar. Most people remember him and will do so for a long time to come as one leader that presided over such massive infrastructure development. Talk about construction of modern roads, hospitals, state of the art at that. Schools, airports, you name it. And so a lot of people are casting their minds back to that. And even when you listen to programs that are being presented on traditional media where his legacy is being described, by fellow politicians, friends of his, and other citizens who had the privilege of meeting or knowing him socially, professionally, or and otherwise, you will find that come out. So it's just a lot of that. And people are sharing, even on social media, photos, videos of that legacy. So Kelly's just took the words out of my mouth.
Right. And what's the mood overall in the country? I mean, he had his stronghold areas, right? His supporters. What's the mood like overall?
As you would expect, citizens from all walks of life are downcast and are failing to process all this. It seems it just came suddenly. And most of the people that I spoke to didn't even know he was out of the country. Imagine. And of course, there's no distinction between the outpouring of emotions in strongholds and other parts of the country. There seem to be this voice that is, they seem to be unison in the way citizens are expressing their grief. And wherever you go, the feeling is that he has gone too soon and that they wanted him to be around for the next general election, which is only about 14 months away. Lungu re-entered politics from retirement in late 2023 and intended to stand again in 2026. But a citizen challenged his eligibility on the basis of his having served the maximum two terms prescribed by law. And the Constitutional Court ruled that he was ineligible for 2026 and future elections. He appealed, and at the time of his passing, the case had already been taken back to court. That, plus his assertions that he had a plan B, gave his supporters hope. So for many, the news last week that he was no more hit them so badly. Some have been going live on Facebook, TikTok, and other online platforms just to cry and describe how they are feeling. So it's been a very emotional time.
Before his passing, and correct me if I'm wrong, he had fallen out with the current government under President Hakainde Hichilema. Can President Hichilema now sort of buried the hatchet with his former foe. What are we sensing from the way he's addressing, you know, his passing?
I've been thinking about that question ever since Isiolo died. I think that there is going to be, we might see a different kind of Hagainde Hichilema going forward, because I don't think that Hagainde Hichilema had a problem with the PF as a party. I sensed that Hichilema had issues with ECL and his leadership style. And now that Edgar Lungu is no longer in the picture, I kind of feel that the seeming stranglehold that the ruling party had on the on the former ruling party might just be relaxed, and so that the kind of I think opposition politics that we are going to see up to election time might be the kind that you would expect in any democratic society where there's no underhand methods played by those in power. I also feel that the death of ECL might morally sober him up so that it doesn't appear like you are putting those that are mourning in an awkward position, because already he knows that ECL was a member of the Patriotic Front. So his death means that the Patriotic Front has been robbed of their leader. Right. So from an African point of view, you don't want to continue strangling someone who's mourning. You want to cut them some slack and give them space to mourn. And I think between now and election time, we might see, politics of fairness may probably much more than what has happened since, DF lost power in August 2021.
There's more of a back and forth between his party, the Patriotic Front, and the ruling government now. We'll probably touch a bit on that in a bit. But before that, Glory, let me come to you. We are recording this podcast on the 10th of June, Tuesday, and his body, the late Lungu's body, is expected to arrive from South Africa to Zambia on Wednesday. What more do we know about activities preceding his funeral? What can we expect in the coming days?
Some places in Lusaka, as Kellys has mentioned, have been designated for public mourning, such as the Belvedere Lodge, which is a government lodge, and has hosted different previous presidents' deaths. But, of course, we know that the family has not recognized that place. They've decided to mourn at the Secretariat. That's where the masses are, especially big supporters of the Patriotic Front. And the current acting president now has even been warning people who claim to be supporters of the PF from going to where the government has picked. So there's this bit of a standoff. So in terms of what we expect in the coming days, as I said, it's not clear yet, because this standoff is just like it changes form from day to day. You don't even know what will happen by the end of the day today.
Talking about the standoff, is it normal?
It's not.
When a former president dies, not by law, he's accorded a state funeral. But there's always some challenges sometimes with the family members deciding, oh, we'd rather want him to be buried here, or we would rather want to do the activity or the event in a certain way. But somehow there's always a compromise that is made. Although on the other hand, the government, because it's a state funeral, the government has a bit of an upper say. Isn't that just what's going on, or is it deeper than that?
That's what's supposed to happen. It happened when our first president, Kenneth Kaunda, died. His family wanted to bury him somewhere else, I think with other relatives, but the government wasn't having it, and they decided to just follow what the government wanted. In this case, it's really deeper than that. The government planned to repatriate the body from South Africa, right? But we now hear that the late former president's wish was that the family should refuse the state's help. And all that is just because, according to Makhebi Lungu, who is Lungu's lawyer and the family spokesperson, Lungu felt that he was badly treated by this government through, you know, the ruling United Party for National Development. First of all, his repeated formal requests to travel out of the country for medical attention were allegedly constantly met by refusal from as far back as 2022. And reportedly, even when he was going to foot the costs, his attempts to travel would always be blocked.
Oh, wow. Kellys, this sounds more serious than people realize, it seems. It's a lot happening, isn't there, Kellys?
Yes, you know, it is. That is why, and for me, I'm not really surprised that all these things are happening. I think that is why, you know, politics must be conducted in a very, very civil manner. When HH was in the opposition, he wasn't, it wasn't treated as democratic principles, would expect. And now we are faced with a situation where the man is, you know, is finally dead. Government has refused that it never turned down his request to go and seek medical attention, but the records are there. The PF people have released letters where government refused. But then there were also just other things that people were aware of, where he's at the airport, police show up and prevent him from traveling. Sometimes he'll go to a church service and the police show up and say, you know, there's going to be no church service. So this animosity was known by everyone. And it is hardly surprising that we're now having this acrimonious, situation. I just hope that going forward, I think the men that are elected to position of president will set a new tone, that once you're elected president, it doesn't matter what somebody did to you, if he saved or she saved as a head of state, be the bigger person, and set a new tone so that you don't find yourself in, such a moral quandary as now. Because now everybody else is saying, listen, the family is justified in, wanting to take these things in their own hands, because after all, the man had been stripped of his status and was pretty much, a private person. You don't really want to come to such a point. That is why even the law that says that when a former president re-enters active politics, that they must lose their benefits, I think that must be scrapped. International standards are that a politician is a politician. It doesn't matter, how they choose to take part in politics. But once somebody has served as a head of state, let them continue to enjoy those benefits for the rest of their lives so that right. You don't find yourselves in this situation.
Maybe here on this podcast, let's wrap it up with trying to understand the man that he was in terms of how he related to ordinary Zambians. He's actually been described, or he described himself, I should say, as an ordinary Zambian of humble beginnings. How would you say he connected with ordinary Zambians overall? Let's leave the politics aside of things, the opposition and everyone at each other's throat. The man at Galungu and how he connected with ordinary Zambians. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he never shifted away from that truth, and that would come across in the way he interacted with ordinary Zambians, as you say, especially those below the radar. He was empathetic and would give donations to people in vulnerable circumstances. At one point, I remember around 2019, when he was still in office, he reduced his and the salaries of his cabinet between a range of 15 and 20% towards cushioning the vulnerable amidst a high cost of living that arose from the increase on fuel prices and electricity tariffs then. As a person, he was approachable, would pick up calls from ordinary people and even call himself for a hangout with them. He was in his element whenever he was among such, and easily shared hugs, jokes, and activities that he loved the most, such as jogging, as I said, chatting away, dancing. Sometimes people would call him the dancing president, watching football, enjoying simple pleasures with normal people without big names. That was evidently his happy place. Mm-hmm. And for me, on a lighter moment and in conclusion, I will remember him as the man that had a strikingly beautiful handwriting. that would get Zambian netizens talking and excited. Every time a note written by him was circulated on social media, it would go viral. He was also the man with the swag. He loved looking good and matched his clothes so well. So, yeah, that was one Edgar Chagwalungu for you. May his soul rest in perfect peace.
May his soul rest in perfect peace. I don't think I can match his handwriting or his swag. That's something I have to work on. But Kellys, you have the final words. When all the chaos settles, when all the dust settles, what will be the fond memory left behind by Edgar Lungu?
You know, he always associated himself or identified himself as a resident of Chawama compound, you know, a densely populated area that is normally identified with a larger population of Zambian people as poor people. He had a home there and he interacted with him. You know, even in office, I think he took some of the guys that lived in Chawama with him to office and gave them positions and worked with him. In fact, some people were even wondering as to, you know, what sort of credentials or qualifications are those people bringing to the highest office in the land. But that was his way of saying, listen, this is where I come from. And these people that I was with, you know, at that point in my life, will always be part of my life. So that, a lot of people will remember them, will remember him for, because Zambians do not really like people that, you know, suddenly develop, you know, chips on their shoulders. Zambians always want people that will identify, you know, with them. Personally, I'll remember him as a lawyer who defended journalists, because I was Mr. Zambia chairperson, an organization that defends the rights of journalists. He was one of those lawyers that would get the peanuts that we used to pay for those lawyers that believed in press freedom. That's why I knew him at a personal level. But he also served at some point as my personal lawyer in a personal matter that I, you know, that I had. I remember him coming to my house and we were chatting about this matter. It was a very, very difficult moment in my life. I remember one word that he told me. He says, Kellys, there's no situation that remains permanent. Even this will come to pass. That is ECL, Edgar Chagwalungu, for you.
And he is no longer among the living. May his soul rest in peace. Kellys Kaunda, communications and public policy consultant who served as first secretary at the Zambian Embassy in Berlin during Lungu's term in office. Thank you very much for your time. Also, DW correspondent in Zambia, Gloria Mushenge, thank you for sharing.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Zambians' descriptions of Edgar Lungu are complex, from appreciation for his role in infrastructure development and peaceful power transfer to strong criticisms regarding his economic management, alleged corruption, and perceived authoritarian tendencies. Let's get reactions from some Zambians, starting with the daughter, Tasila Lungu, on the death of her father.
My father, President Lungu, had been under medical supervision in recent weeks. His condition was managed with dignity and privacy, with support from all well-wishers. In this moment of grief, we invoke the spirit of one Zambia, one nation. The timeless creed that guided President Lungu's service to our country. In time, the nation will be involved, will be informed of other arrangements. Thank you. God bless you.
He was like a hero to us because he has helped us through a lot. Because he has changed a lot of things in Zambia and he has made a difference in apart from other presidents.
I remember him in several moments. He's a man who used to look after the old ones. He had opened a lot of hospitals, giving help to the vulnerable children. It's a sad moment. May he so rest in peace.
Those were Zambians reacting to the passing away of former President Edgar Lungu. A man whose political activities further polarized opinions even after his death. His legacy is a complex tapestry of achievements and controversies. May his soul rest in peace. We would like to hear from you on this, so please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. We encourage you to share your thoughts on Edgar Lungu's legacy and how you think he will be remembered. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for mind.